This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Oh, did we just miss a... Seth and I were too busy talking about conflict ditties and things like that during the break. There's a text message, Ben. Is Boomer taking the same turn Andy Rooney did? Jesus, what an old turd. Did we miss another did we miss another boomer sports minute?
Apparently.
Okay, if you
I don't know, but kids, this is kids. If you ever had to sit and watch 60 Minutes at night, which was awful, when you're a kid, yeah. You're watching torture. 60 Minutes with my grand, he's usually with my grandparents. Yeah. 60 Minutes and Lawrence Welk were the ones that as a child, I'm like, I just have to sit here and watch this trash.
Why is this on
for
TV?
A 10-year-old like this. Yep. It's so Andy Rooney was this grumpy old man that probably got paid $1 million a year to do a 1-minute rant about something that he was grumpy about. And that was the only thing I looked forward to as a young child being forced to watch 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
Yep.
And it was kind of fun. It was a grumpy old man with just gigantic old man eyebrows.
Oh, huge they eyebrows.
Were, like, he could have parted his eyebrows. They yeah. were they were magnificent.
Yeah.
And I miss Andy Rooney. Oh. It was I think back in the day, I'm guessing he was actually an actual journalist or something, but in 60 Minutes, he was just a grumpy old man for 1 minute.
All right. Yeah. Ben, we'll need to snag that sports minute at some point. Just not this second or anything like that, but I'm my interest is piqued by this texter over here. So, yeah, we'll get to that. And we'll get to some of your texts about the topics we've been hitting here.
Then we're going to have a segment where we play nothing but Lawrence Welk music.
That's right, <Yeah. laughs> with bubbles in the studio and everything. Mm-hmm. So Shane Gillis is hosting the ESPYs tonight. I'm not a huge ESPY guy. I'll watch it some years I don't. I'm not emotionally invested in any of the awards and who wins it, even though I'm an award guy. The only Houstonian that I think, I looked at all the nominees for everything, I think the only thing as a Houstonian that I would have a vested interest in, Seth, would be Simone Biles is up for Female Athlete of the Year. But other than that, it's just a chance for a bunch of really rich sports people to get together and give awards to each other.
But there will be good highlights from it that we'll play.
There will be. Yeah, there will be something. There's always something that goes viral. Shane Gillis is the host. Sometimes they get the host right, and sometimes they don't. I am in favor of this. I find Shane Gillis to be very, very funny, and I am optimistic that he will take the appropriate aim, Ricky Gervais at the Oscars style, on the scourges of the sports world.
See, the good thing about Shane Gillis, and I'm sure there's many reasons that people hate him for whatever reason, because that's the way it works these days. But I feel like Shane Gillis has hit big partly because he kind of feels like a lot of us do, where... Man, I just, like the everyman who's been plopped down into all of this, people being angry about everything all over the place, but he's got a way of poking fun at it, where I feel like no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, you can kind of laugh at it, if he's taking aim at you.
Yeah, he's...
So I feel like athletes might, as he's roasting athletes as he's doing this, I think they'll take it in good spirit.
You do? Okay. I mean, it's some of them, it's a sensitive crowd. You know,
Norm Macdonald, I think, was the all-time most vicious.
Yeah.
For the ESPYs.
Yes.
It was, I mean, because... like even more so than Ricky Gervais, I can't remember. He went after. He made some OJ jokes. Like, well, it was like still fresh.
He was making that. That was his go-to. Was the OJ jokes? That's what got him kicked off SNL.
Yeah. No, but in that setting especially, it was interesting.
Yeah. I was talking about that with somebody earlier this week. I think maybe I was out and about talking to some list. I was probably over at Lizards talking to somebody about it, and with Norm Macdonald came up. And we were talking about how Norm Macdonald and OJ jokes were almost synonymous with each other. And they reminded me, whoever it was reminding me of the story about how he got kicked off SNL. Apparently the SNL people said, enough of the OJ, like, that's it. You know, we're done. And literally like the very first one after that, OJ gets exonerated. And he's like, this just in, murder, legal in California. You're done.
I'm honestly, I was amazed that he made it as long as he did, because Norm Macdonald is, you either like him or don't, like, you either get him or you don't, and it's not that he's your brand of humor or he's not. But so I was always amazed that he made it as long on the update as he did, because there are a lot of people that just flat out like didn't think he was funny at all.
Right.
And then there were others that I thought he was just a... Because even... He's one of those guys that was... He was one of the first anti-humor guys. Like, would intentionally do bad jokes because it's funny that he's doing a bad joke.
Yes.
That was where... I think that's why a lot of comedians liked him as much as they did, was that he kind of pushed the boundaries. And that became a whole mode of comedy for, like, 15 years of just... The joke is that it's a bad joke.
Yeah.
So that people that aren't in on the joke that... It's a bad joke, and that's what makes it a joke. Yep. Just they hated it.
Yes.
So Shane Gillis, this is why I say this about Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
Shane Gillis does a Trump impression that I think people on both sides of the aisle like.
I think so.
And I know there's going to be differences, and people will disagree with me. But by and large, I've seen people from both walks of life that think his Trump impression is hilarious.
Yeah.
So like he gets away with a lot that like in sensitive areas that other people would. Just be hated for.
Well, to my knowledge, he's not chasing it with all sorts of political opinions about things. Like
he plays himself off as just a dumb fella.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
I'm just a dumb guy. Like, whatever, you know. Hey, there you go.
It's another thing when someone's doing an impersonation of it, and you know that there's 10 political opinions behind it. You know, like that's where people, I think, get a little
is trying
put
to
off.
Prove a point or whatever.
Yeah, like get a little put off. So I'm predicting people. I hope Shane Gillis includes in his monologue LeBron James. Well, I'm guessing he's going to be there. I think he's at the ESPYs all the time. LeBron James, who actually I think hosted the ESPYs one time. Hopefully he makes fun of that. Yeah.
It was when he was young, remember?
Yeah.
I think it was early in his career, if I'm not mistaken.
Aaron Rodgers, I think. I could see some Aaron Rodgers showing up in Shane Gillis's monologue somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is kind of an under-the-radar one that I'm maybe a little more sensitive to because he was a Texan last year. But that's an easy target right now with all the stuff going on the boat with Cardi B like a month ago, you know?
The one thing I'd be curious about is, you remember on College Game Day, he kind of made a joke with Nick Saban on the panel about Alabama cheating or something. And he did it after McAfee and somebody else had told Shane Gillis, no, go for it.
Yeah.
He'll think it's hilarious. Saban did not think it was hilarious. Saban gave him a death glare.
No.
And Gillis was, it was not comfortable for him. Yeah.
Do you think, I think Bill Belichick and his girlfriend are a lock to be mentioned in his monologue?
Oh, yeah. Quite a lot. Yeah.
For sure.
So I don't think, but Belichick or Saban will not be in attendance, I could predict.
No, I would agree with that. Do you think, similar to how he's found a way to do a Trump impersonation and not really piss anybody off, does he find a way to make an Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark joke that doesn't make people angry?
I think he finds a way to make a joke that pisses off
everybody.
90% of America. I think that because that's a crossover hit.
Yeah.
And whenever you go into a crossover hit, that there's people that don't follow sports at all that are debating Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. They will not like the joking about it.
Yep.
So both Caitlin Clark admirers and Angel Reese admirers will have, there will be 3,000 word think pieces out there on blogs all over America about how evil Shane Gillis is for having made that joke.
Amen.
About both of them, about both Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Yep.
Yes.
I'll watch the monologue for Shane Gillis, first time watching the ESPYs in years. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the monologue. The rest of it, whatever, I'll have it on in the background. But
cool. He does. He does a thing about going through the Thomas Jefferson, going through the tour at what was the name of Thomas Jefferson's house there? It was
I don't know,
Monticello.
It's a plantation.
Yeah,
right?
And I think I'm wrong on that, but whatever. But he's like, you know, when I'm going through and I'm. I won't do it because I'll botch it and people hate me for it.
Yeah,
but it's kind of his struggle of like. Trying to be super patriotic, dude, but also trying to be like recognizing that, yeah, we did some messed up stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
And you go through Thomas Jefferson, and Thomas Jefferson was like the apex of like, wow, a lot of the awesome ideals that made America great, but yeah, there's also this
other
slaveholder thing.
Yeah. Hey, shifting gears for a second, you and I were talking about the, speaking of things that somehow get polarized politically and whatnot. The Superman movie. It's funny, Seth. I was talking about, Amy says this to me yesterday out of nowhere. She's like, I've heard the Superman movie's really, really good. We should go see it. And I said, I've heard that it's good from some people, and I've heard that it's horrible from other people, which I'm always inclined to go see. Anything that, like, it's 50-50, like, polarizing like this, I'll go see just to see what the fuss is all about, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And people are talking about it.
Right.
It's our job. And tax expense to or a deductible expense
Thank you,
to go watch that movie.
That's right. Keep your receipts, kids.
As long as we talk about it, you know, I'd be sure we talk about it after.
Right. Or in this case,
the IRS coming after.
That's it. I don't need that. Mike Francesa, longtime radio host up in New York on WFAN. Now he's got his own streaming show that he does. We played his audio. Former co-host of Mad Dog Russo, whose audio we play on this show quite a bit. This went viral. He did like an 8-minute. Just an 8-minute monologue on how horrible the Superman movie was. He went and saw it. I'm not going to play all 8 minutes of it. I picked out a couple cuts here, though, that I think many of you will find entertaining. This is his lead-in where he says he really hated this movie.
What I'm getting into is this stunk as for someone who's a old-time TV show Superman guy trying to get entertained for a couple hours. And wants to see Superman. This movie was pure torture to sit through. Torture. I mean, I'll tell you this. If my name was on the credits, I'd hide it. That's how bad it was. This was 2 hours of this new Superman. It was a decent. He wasn't Christopher Reeve, but he was okay Superman. 2 hours of him getting the crap beat out of him. Who wants to see Superman get beat up for 2 hours? He's getting beat up by everybody. Plus, you have other superheroes in the movie. I didn't go there to see some guy named Mr. Terrific. I didn't go there to see the Green Lantern or some lady named Hawk something or other. I don't even know who she was. Okay, these other superheroes who he calls on. Who needs other superheroes? This is a Superman movie. You want to see Superman flirt with Lois Lane, keep his disguise, and battle crime. That's what you want to see.
The times have changed, Francesa. We need to see the hero get beat up a little bit so that there's a comeback in the end, you know?
So I'm going to review his review based on this standard.
There's more coming, but continue.
I know. But based on this standard, okay, does this sound like a bad movie or does this sound like a grumpy old man who is in love with his version in his mind of what Superman should be? And so far, I'm leaning towards, all right, you don't like this particular version of Superman more so than the movie itself.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So I'm leaning towards grumpy old man right now.
Yep, I am too. Now, I just looked it up. I'm not a comic book guy at all. I've seen several of the movies. If they're really popular, I'll go see them. I'll probably go see this one with alcohol.
Plus, it's not like there hasn't ever battled other superheroes before. That's
Mr. Terrific is an actual is a superhero appearing in the American comic books published by DC Comics. I couldn't tell if that was something he was just making up as like a name. Like, I don't need to see, you know, like the equivalent of someone saying Joe Blow. You know, like I don't need to see Mr. Terrific, actual superhero.
The only thing, he almost said Lex Luthor. But he caught himself. Lex Luthor is not, correct me if I'm wrong, he's not really a superhero. He's just a villain, right?
He's a villain who's apparently in this movie, but he's a villain. He's a villain.
I saw one little clip with Lex Luthor in it, and I kind of like them. I'm like, I kind of side with Lex Luthor in this clip. I've seen one clip of the movie, and the one thing that I thought immediately was like, this seems like a much more emotional Superman
than
I've seen before. Yeah. He seems more like a human Superman.
Francesa does not like that this version of Superman had robots and a dog.
Early on, there's robots. I don't want robots. Okay, I don't want robots taking care of Superman. I don't. Then there's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog? I mean, we all like dogs, okay? And I didn't like the dog getting beat on in the movie. It bothered me. But hey, who came up with a dog with a cape? When did that arrive? I watched Superman for years on television. I never saw a dog with a cape. I never saw robots.
To answer his question, by the way, 1955.
that was when the original Supermans were.
That's the original Crypto the Superdog.
Oh, there was a dog.
Yeah.
Look at Ben. Ben's like Stat Boy. I'm pardon the interruption now.
So now I'm veering towards grumpy old man who's not old enough, or is so old that he doesn't remember. I'd like that. That sounded like a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
I don't want robots. Like it's very much you want everything just so.
Yes.
I want everything just so, and it needs to be just the way I like it.
Everything like it was with Christopher Reeve in the first Superman movie.
This is what it sounds like. I don't know why they can't make the exact same Superman movie every single time. Are you telling me they couldn't make money with that? Why are they changing things in such a way that people might find it entertaining because it's different from the original one?
Do you want one more?
I am 100% going to go see this movie now based on my grumpy old man spectrum.
Francesa, Francesa says, I know there were some politics that people got upset about, but this movie sucked.
Before you get into all the Middle East innuendos, all right, you got people claiming it's anti-Semitic. I mean, hey, I'm not getting into the political ramifications of it. Are there political ramifications and innuendos? Yes. Forget that. This is just awful. I mean, I actually think the people who wrote this must have been on some kind of hallucinogen before they decided that this was a wrap and this was what they were going to go with. The creative consultants and the writers in this thing must have all been absolutely rocked before they made this thing. That's how bad
it was. Certainly a good Hollywood movie has never been made when the people involved were doing drugs of any sort.
Chemical influenced.
Wait a second. Are you telling me? Are you telling me people in Hollywood were on the jazz? No way. Not for me, Sam. I know what he's saying though. There's sometimes you're watching a movie, it's like, all right, these guys have done a little too much acid, even by Hollywood standards.
Yeah.
Okay. One, 100%. I'm going to go see it now.
Yep.
Two, I wish he hadn't tipped his hat as to like what I didn't know. I knew that some people were either saying that it's too political or it's been politicized or whatever. I didn't want to have any knowledge of what the actual issue was, but still I'm going to go to try to watch it with a clean slate. But no, based on his incredibly negative review of Superman, I feel like I have to go watch it and 100%. See it now.
He made me way more likely to go see it now than I was before seeing his review.
Average audience rating so far is 4 out of 5.
Oh, okay. Are you
on whichever website I saw that on?
Okay.
I don't know. Let's check the Rotten Tomatoes. I'm always intrigued by. Okay, I'm going to predict right now.
I'll open it up. You predict Rotten Tomatoes.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm always intrigued by the ones that have a really high audience score but a really low critic score, or vice versa.
Yep.
I'm guessing this has a really high audience score and a really low critic score.
I'm going to the search box here. Superman. Let's see. Superman. 2025 Superman. Here we go. All right. What do you guess? Give me your guess again.
I'm guessing that it's a high audience score, like around 90, and a low critic score, like a 65.
Okay. The tomato meter is the critic score, right? And the popcorn meter is the audience score. Am I right about that? Popcorn meter, 93%. So Francesa is in a very, very small minority here.
I don't want robots.
He's a grumpy old man.
The critics, yes, lower. 83%.
Oh, still 83%.
83%, lower, right. But not that much lower,
This sounds like one of those things that people are screaming about expecting to find a sympathetic audience when they talk about it's because, especially if they're politicizing it at all.
Yeah.
But by and large, most people are like, whatever, bro, settle down, it's a movie.
Right,
okay?
Right. All right, your thoughts on it. Oh, by the way, Seth, people said George Washington, not Thomas Jefferson, and Monticello was the house. You were talking about Thomas Jefferson and Shane Gillis.
Oh, no, his bit. Okay. Thomas Jefferson was Monticello, but George Washington was the bit.
Oh,
the bit
okay.
He was doing about
okay,
it,
gotcha.
I think,
gotcha.
Right? Yeah. I might be wrong on that, too. Yeah, Thomas Jefferson's house is named Monticello, but
the bit was George Washington.
The bit that Shane Gillis was doing is about George Washington.
There you
Thank
go.
You, everybody.
Yep.
Luckily, I gave the disclaimer that I was almost definitely wrong on that. Yes,
absolutely. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. We've been talking about these top 10 lists that ESPN's been doing, going by position. There is one position where they got no votes. Actually, it's two positions, one big group, the offensive line. Will anybody get a vote next year in the top 10 for the offensive line for the NFL from the Texans? And if so, who will it be? That's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, I'm anxious to get Lopez's thoughts on this Aggie Longhorn dust-up from the Sarkisian intro yesterday. Get an Aggie's perspective on it, see what Lopez thinks. If you missed it, they played the Aggie War Hymn as Steve Sarkisian, University of Texas coach, was walking out to do his press conference yesterday. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Seth, we've been going through these ESPN top 10 lists at each position group in the NFL the past week and change. They finish up tomorrow. Cornerbacks are tomorrow, so I would expect to definitely see Stingley's name in the top 10, and it wouldn't shock me to see Kamari Lassiter's name in the honorable men. It would surprise me if he were top 10, just based on he's a rookie or he's 1 year in. Would not surprise me to see him get honorable mention, and I would be surprised if he didn't get any votes in this exercise of 70 NFL people voting on this thing. The offensive line, they chopped up into interior O-line, which is guards and centers, and tackles. They had in a separate group. So two groups of offensive linemen The Texans had nobody in the top 10, nobody in honorable mention. They had nobody get a vote in this exercise for their offensive line. And I got to say, right now, that passes the smell test. Now, Laremy Tunsil was on the team last year. He finished seventh among tackles last year. So I'm not surprised, Seth, that not a single NFL person put any of these Texans offensive linemen in their top 10. The hope is that this position group, well, both groups, interior and the tackles, the offensive line as a whole, gels and improves this year. Will they gel and improve to where guys are being named to the Pro Bowl? We'll see. I have my doubts. But I think the hope is they can be a better unit. And if they do, then some of these guys are going to start to pop up on the radar. If you had to pick one Texans offensive lineman that's on the team right now to at least get a vote next year, to at least have somebody in the NFL say, this guy is a top 10 interior guy, or this guy is a top 10 tackle, who would it be?
Okay, I'm torn on this one, because if it were interior offensive lineman, it would be very easy for me to say Titus Howard. I want it to be Titus Howard for three reasons. One, it means that Nick Haley knows what he's doing.
Yep.
Two, it knows that Cole Popovich, the offensive line coach, knows what he's doing. Yep. And three, it would be that Titus Howard has genuinely embraced the leadership role and is leading by example, which has a spillover effect on everybody else.
Yeah.
So, and it does look like Titus has embraced the leadership role now that he's one of the old guys in the room. Now it's a matter of just, you know, do all the right things. He's shown a lot of promise as a guard, but now in fully, if he does end up playing guard, I think this will be the first time he's really embraced it in the offseason, and he can clean up some of the things. There's times where, okay, he does some really good things, but then there's other times where it looks like, okay, this is a tackle who's temporarily playing guard.
Yeah.
So I would like it, because I think there's a spillover effect on everybody else. If I had to go just strictly, okay, what helps your team the most?
Yeah, yeah.
It would be if Blake Fisher or Arianti Urseri,
a young tackle,
turned into a top 10 offensive tackle, because then all of a sudden you've got a really young guy still on his rookie contract,
yep,
who's at one of the most important spots on your team at offensive tackle. And if it's Arianti Urseri at left tackle or Blake Fisher at right tackle, that would be great. So between those two, I would still pick Titus Howard, because I think that's, if what they're trying to do is establish a different culture in the offensive line room, and Titus Howard can be a part of that,
yeah,
and the leader in that, instead of, you know, maybe wondering if he's one of the guys that needs to be swapped out,
sure,
for culture issues. Yeah, I would be really excited about that.
We have a Texans question on the text page along those lines. Trey Smith's record deal yesterday, with his record deal, if you missed it, Trey Smith of the Chiefs signed for $23 million a year, and the top NFL guards being paid around $18 million plus per season over the last few years. Does it make Titus Howard's deal, which is about $18 million a year, he signed that when he was a right tackle, does it make it more acceptable? He's around $18 million a year. In this O-line going forward, he's a guard, correct? And yes, he's going to be a guard at least to start out with. Does Titus Howard's, do you have any sort of feel either way about contractually where they are with him right now, the value in Titus Howard?
I don't, you know, and they tweaked it and gave him some more guaranteed up money up front, but that's not necessarily, it wasn't like he got a pay raise or anything. They restructured it the typical way you do to massage the cap. It would. I mean, it was an overpay at the time, you know, given that, and he got it after the 1 year where he'd finally been healthy the whole time. But I don't think he lived up to his contract when he got it at the time. But those as every contract does, it ends up being more affordable over time.
Yeah.
I think that if he can be a competent and productive guard, certainly if he could be a top 10 guard, then I'd feel a lot better about it. But then I think Caserio's also paid for his versatility. And Caserio has always been, I think, way more bullish, like genuinely bullish about Titus as a guard than the rest of us have been. And that is, this is where the Pro Football Focus grades can get kind of dicey sometimes. There's an effect when Titus Howard goes down and plays guard, like that we saw last year in the playoffs, especially, and in the last few games of the season, where they became overall a better rushing team and a better run-blocking offensive line just by having his mass and his bulk and his athleticism in there on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
So there was glitches in pass protection that everybody had across the board, including tight ends and running backs last year. But, I think, the as the salaries have escalated now, it makes it feel a lot. That contract could feel like a bargain at the end of the year if Tytus Howard really thrives in the guard role.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it. I'm fine with it. I don't think it's a great value. I don't think it's a horrible value. I think you got to see how Tytus Howard does at a new position with a new coach, and then I'll give you my assessment of it. All right, this Aggie Longhorn thing with the fight song, the war hymn, sorry, getting played as Sarkisian walked out for his press conference. You thought it was intentional, Seth. You thought it was somebody... I
thought there was a chance it was intentional.
Okay.
Part of that is fueled by so many Longhorns saying, just flat out convinced.
Yeah.
That, and apparently, in the Longhorns' minds, there's a long history of harassment by Aggies. Bombarding the hotel with music, fire alarms, all this stuff that sometimes goes on.
Well,
I don't know if they've ever poisoned a tree allegedly or anything, but yes.
I'm very curious how this will go. Larry and Stafford happens to be a big Longhorn. I'm wondering how he feels about this. Larry, how are you feeling about Sark getting the Aggie war hymn played underneath him yesterday?
Sean, I'm going to side with you that Seth is, I believe, a little bit naive. These are people that have kidnapped each other's mascot. And if you're sitting here thinking, oh, Billy Bob, the red hat wearing person up in Aggieland, didn't pay somebody $15,000 to play that old stupid fight song that he played when Sark walked out, you are sadly mistaken. I'm not sure if you remember, but the Oklahoma State Cowboys was building a stadium for their football team. And somebody paid some contractors to put OU bricks in their stadium. So these kind of things are not happening by accident. These things, they wanted to try to minimize Sark coming out there because them Aggies didn't do nothing for the 10 years that they had a leap on the Longhorns getting to the SEC, and now they're back to being little brother like they've always gonna be. Now, having said that, let's talk football. I need these next 2 weeks to get over. I need this week and a half and the offseason to be over because now I got Mike Francesco longing for the days of George Reeves and his oatmeal in front of a black and white TV looking at Superman flying on a table or something. Then I got Archie Manning signing off his text messages with his name, Archie Manning, to his grandkids as if they don't know he Archie. And then now I'm sitting up here doing the same thing, sending my kids text messages with L on it. Something's going on, and I got to stop this. Son, we need to get football season coming, man, because right now I'm having way too much free time to do projects and stuff that's getting me in trouble. And I'm a firm believer that once football season comes, everybody going to leave me the hell alone in our hall.
Yeah, appreciate you, Larry. Yeah, Larry took on a project. He used YouTube to try to fix something mechanically wrong with his wife's passenger side door on her SUV.
That's where, man, home repair and everything, YouTube has been a great asset for me, but I tried to fix something electronic once in my car, and oh my God.
Yeah,
that's a different level, man.
It took days.
That's a different level.
Now,
especially if you're doing it out in the heat.
Yes, and it was outdoors. Yeah, now to be clear, the thing that I thought Seth was naive about was not whether or not that was a purposeful thing that was done to Steve Sarkisian. The thing I think Seth is naive about is Sarkisian's complete lack of acknowledgement of the whole thing. Like, I think he just, like, I think he knew what was playing, but he just chose to go right into his little speech there.
Yeah.
You thought that he just didn't hear it because he was so laser focused on giving the speech.
Combination of not hearing it and wouldn't have broken through his concentration because he's only, as the Texas coach, he's only played the Aggies once.
That's right.
So it's not, I'm not buying that he would have immediately been like, oh, my stars, are they playing the, is that the war hymn?
That's,
which is the Aggies fight song?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you bastards. We had multiple people try to correct us that it's not the fight song, it's the war hymn. War hymn is the name of their fight song, okay? Yeah. Am I allowed to say the national anthem?
Right.
It feels like no, but there's no pushback when I say the national anthem.
No.
The Star Spangled Banner is the title of our national anthem.
Thank you.
Just like the war hymn is the title of your fight song.
Right.
Or as I like to call it now, your conflict ditty.
Yes. That's going to stick.
I will never say war him again. Nope. That is your conflict ditty.
Conflict ditty. We might play it just so we can call it the conflict ditty every day. All right. A case of mistaken identity. How many times have we done what Dabo Sweeney did when it comes to names of people? We'll have that. We'll find out what the guy's got going on In the Loop. That'll be coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. We've been playing some audio from some of these college coaches this week because it's been media days. Dabo Sweeney, of course, Clemson's head coach. They're in the ACC. He told this story at a press conference about how he and his wife, his family, they were on vacation at a beach town somewhere, and the name Brian Kelly happened to enter the chat, that there's a shop on the beach that was run by Brian Kelly's wife. Well, of course, the best-known Brian Kelly in the sports world is the LSU head coach. And that's the one Dabo Sweeney knows. They play each other in the opener this year, by the way, Clemson and LSU. So they said, hey, go to this shop. It's run by Brian Kelly's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Brian Kelly. Exactly. Should I explain the dual Brian Kellys before
probably.
We play this, Seth? Okay.
Probably, yeah. We should explain that there's another Brian Kelly who's a member of Florida Georgia Line.
Correct.
And the country band. Yep. So that was so when you hear him, when you hear about his confusion in this, it'll make sense.
Yeah.
But Dabo Sweeney never had a hint that he was mistaking these two Brian Kellys.
Yes, he had no clue of this. Florida Georgia Line one was off his radar for sure. Here's Dabo Sweeney.
My brother and my sister-in-law, she's saying, hey, Brian Kelly has a place. His wife has a gift shop right on the corner there in Grayton Beach. I'm like, oh, really? That's pretty cool. You know, I had no idea. So anyway, we go there, and I walk off. So I go into the store. Me and Kath walking in the store. Kath buys something because she's trying to support Mrs. Kelly or whatever we're doing. So she buys something, and we go in the store, and I'm walking around. I go out, and they're like, yeah. And he's got a concert. He's going to have a concert in the back. So I'm like, okay, I'll walk out in the back. There's a little stage in the back, and there's like some, I think it's like fake grass or whatever, just a small little area. And it says, Brian Kelly, you know, performing live on this day, whatever. And I'm going, freaking hey, Brian Kelly can sing, play. I didn't know that. So I'm like taking pictures, and I'm sending it to Brian Kelly. I'm sending all these pictures to Brian Kelly. And then I get on the stage, you know, Brian Kelly, you know, I'm just kind of having some fun. I'm like, you know, hey, I got, and I sent all this to Brian Kelly. All right. Well, then the guy that was with my brother, he's walking over because Cass said something about, I don't know what she said. I just can't believe that Brian Kelly, this is really cool. And she's, and you know, like we know we played them or something in the opener or whatever to the guy. And he's like, what? And as it turns out, there's another Brian Kelly. And he's like, what's the band? Anybody know? It's something Florida Georgia Line or something. I think it's called Florida Georgia Line or Georgia Florida Line Band. Florida Georgia Line Band. And he's like a lead singer or something. And I've even heard their songs, but I don't know all these people's names. But I have no clue. So in the meantime, and Kath goes, babe, it's Brian Kelly. He's a singer with Florida Georgia Line. And I went, what? I've been fired all these pictures off to Brian Kelly.
Yeah, if anybody would try to fake their way through a musical performance to impress people, it would be that guy.
I just, you know what? We probably shouldn't have explained it beforehand, but here's the problem. The first, I had read the transcript of that before I listened to it. And when I read the transcript, you know the way Dabo Swinney talks, yeah. I was so lost. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But the fact that he was sending pictures to Brian Kelly, the coach.
Yeah.
I wonder what Brian – he wasn't getting any responses back from Brian Kelly, the coach. I wonder if Brian Kelly, the coach, thought that Dabo Swinney was going crazy.
Probably.
Yeah, or just super drunk or something. Well, like, wait, that would be so confusing.
If you had to guess on the scale of where Brian Kelly, the coach, sits on just seeing the humor in something where there's no rhyme nor reason, I would put him at the far end of like, F this guy, like throwing the phone down.
This guy's wasting my time.
He's wasting my time, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm trying to get work done here.
Yeah, yeah. So, so Brian Kelly, you ever had a mistaken name thing before?
One time Belichick texted me to congratulate me on getting the Giants job, but when it turned out, it was actually Brian Daboll, that was the first thing that I popped in my mind was when Brian Daboll. That was part of the lawsuit eventually. Brian Belichick was trying to text Brian Daboll and congratulating him about the Giants job, but he accidentally texted Brian Flores, who was in the running for the Giants job, and it created a certain amount of confusion about because I don't think they had announced yet who the coach was, but somehow Belichick knew it before Brian Flores knew that he didn't get the job.
Yeah, is that
if I remember correctly?
I hesitate to say that doing something like that is an old man thing. Like we were talking earlier, Arch Manning was joking around about how his grandfather, Archie Manning, signs all his texts. That's an old man thing because that's something you willingly do. Accidentally hitting the wrong Brian and sending it to it, like I could see myself doing that. Just if you're in a hurry or something like that, like you type BRI and it brings up all your Brians and you hit the wrong one.
Or if you're doing voice to text and you tell your phone to call Brian, whomever, whatever, sometimes my phone, I mean, usually I'm sure it's my fault ultimately, but it'll do it. It does this weird thing where sometimes you'll say the person's first name and it brings up somebody that you haven't talked to in 19 years.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like Cynthia. I'll say Cynthia. That's my mom's name. Yeah. But I know she's in my phone as Cynthia Payne. And it'll bring up like a Cynthia Flores, who I don't even know who it is.
Right. That's frustrating. Hey, speaking of old man things, we had a texter. You and I didn't hear this earlier. The Boomer Esiason and Sports Minute.
I remember Cynthia Flores now. That was a moment.
Facebook.
All right, go ahead.
Facebook. Yeah. Excellent utility. So we had a texter text in like, oh my God, you guys played that Boomer Esiason in Sports Minute yesterday. This one was blah, blah, blah. They were up in arms about how boomerish Boomer sounded. You and I didn't hear it. Ben pulled it. Let's take a listen and see if this is a get off your lawn or get off our lawn moment for Boomer Esiason.
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute. At the British Open, or the Open Championship, which it's really called, the world's number one golfer, Scottie Scheffler, waxed philosophical that winning, which he does often, isn't the be-all, end-all for him. This is not a fulfilling life, Scheffler said. It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of the deepest places of your heart. Okay, I'm Boomer Esiason.
Okay.
That's his take.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that like a cynical okay?
I definitely think it's a cynical okay. For sure. For sure. You kind of like this one. You're not as upset about this one.
I love Boomer scoffing at it.
With one word.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
Okay. Next, I can just see him taking his stack of papers and flipping it off the top to get to his next topic. Yeah.
The worst part, hey, Ben, sorry I didn't interrupt you, Ben. Can you play it from the beginning again? I'll down cue you. This, and I saw the look on Reggie's face too. Reggie Adetula and John Lopez are in the house. This was the part that I thought was the most annoying part.
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute. At the British Open, or the Open Championship, which it's really called.
Get out of here with your fight songs and your war hymns and your British Opens and Open Championships and everything else. We can call it what the hell we want to call it.
Right, and this is the thing. I'm actually someone who is fine with calling like the thing by its actual name. Like I'll say Roland Garros, you know, with French Open. I'll call it the Championships Wimbledon every once in a while. Like I'm okay with being persnickety about this. But also, like, just do it then.
Yeah.
Right? You were the one. Nobody else called it the British Open and then did the Open Championship. You did this.
Yes. Yes.
It's 30 seconds. You got your limited 30 seconds. You spent the first five of it doing this yourself.
That's why his whole take could only be, okay.
Okay.
he's burning calories at the beginning talking about the name of the damn thing.
This is what you got to remember about these sports minutes is that I don't think any of the people that have to do the sports minutes enjoy doing the sports minutes. It's really, it's a lot harder to write something for 30 seconds because I think their sports minute is now 30 to 40 seconds or so.
Oh, it's less than that. It's like 20.
It takes more time to write a 40-second blurb than it does to write a 5-minute blurb.
Yeah.
If you're trying to convey some information.
Because you're just going stream of conscious on 5 minutes.
I think those guys, I think they hate doing them. And I'm not certain that Boomer writes his own.
Yeah,
anyway.
Thank you.
If I were Boomer, I would not. I'd have somebody else writing them for me.
I was going to let you finish before I said that. I was like, I don't know this to be true for sure, but I would bet, I would give 10-1 odds that Boomer does not write his own sports.
An intern would kill for that.
Well,
I wrote the sports minute for Boomer Esiason.
Wait, so if he didn't write his own sports minutes, what happens when he's just like, happy birthday, shout out, I'm Boomer, I'm Esiason.
Oh, yeah, really? It's some intern wishing happy birthday.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So it's, because he gets, I'm empathetic to anybody who gets in at like 5 in the morning to do a 6 a.m. show. Like, I got to sit down and write 5 sports minutes for you here and record them before the show starts.
Yeah.
So I'm empathetic. How you guys doing?
Terrific. Yeah. It's the war hymn, by the way, and only the war hymn.
We had somebody say that there's a fight song and a war hymn.
All right. Okay, Lopez.
He's Boomer Esiason.
What is the Aggies fight song?
It's the Aggie war hymn.
Okay, so what if I say, am I allowed to call it the national anthem? That seems to be acceptable when I talk about the national anthem. America's national anthem is the
Star-Spangled Banner. I see where you're going. I don't mind people calling it the fight song.
You don't, okay.
Because that's the common
way
people refer to those things. But at A&M, it is officially the war hymn and only
that's the
war hymn.
Title of it. Yeah, I get you. Okay, so you're not angry
fight
about
song.
It.
You call it the fight song all you want.
Okay, thanks.
But the thing was, there's not a fight song and the war hymn as you intimated.
Yeah, well, I was just reading text.
Right.
Somebody claimed that there was a fight song that was separate from the war hymn, where everything I've seen is that, their fight song is the war hymn.
Correct.
This is where listen, hullabook, connect, whatever. This is why Aggies get annoying sometimes, okay? Now, look, I know I'm known to be persnickety about stupid little details.
Yeah, persnickety!
And you're an Aggie.
Yeah. Honorary. You're testing me here.
He's questioning it today, yeah.
We cannot live in a world where, no, we don't call our fight song a fight song. It's specifically the war hymn and the war hymn only.
No, I will say that. We call it the war hymn.
Yeah.
But I don't mind when someone calls it a fight song.
Got you.
That's what it is.
Yep. Do you think that Sark knew that the Aggie Warham was playing? Okay, Seth thinks that he was laser focused and didn't really hear
you
it.
You know that song.
That's why he didn't address it in his speech, or at least that we saw.
Ignore it and it'll go away.
Yeah.
He knew it at Alabama. He knew it, you know, obviously at Texas.
Oh, that's true. He was at Alabama, Seth, and they played A&M on the
radio. I didn't want to bring that
radio
up because it went against my
petty play, in fact. I respect that.
Yeah.
I fully respect that.
Is that the best play in the instance?
The second time I said, what's that?
No, is that the best play in the instance? Is, you know, because obviously there's different ways you can handle that situation. Is the best
just
play
ignore
to just ignore
it? I would have.
I think you do you, and I think Sark is a guy who would ignore it. If Lane Kiffin ignored it, I would be angry because that's not his brand. His brand would be to make seven Aggie jokes after that play.
Yeah,
and bring up scores of games where Ole Miss beat the Aggies, stuff like that. That would be Lane
Kiffin. The other thing I thought about it was that it's not like a pep rally type environment where you're playing to the crowd or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of looked like he was about to speak at a business conference.
Yeah,
you know,
so
he might not have been as attuned to the entire environment.
Mm-hmm. But the problem with that though is college football is always playing to a crowd at any given point. Like it's politics.
Yeah,
it's college football. Yeah. Being the head coach of a college football team is being a politician, especially the biggest entities, which Texas absolutely is. So
these are the two biggest that we're talking about
doing
here. Yep. Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. What is the question of the day?
All right, you got to go back to your childhood, not recent.
Okay.
Your childhood. What's an I remember exactly where I was moment from your childhood? And it's based on when I saw that Hank Aaron tribute last night.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you, Dad was sitting behind me having a Falstaff.
Yeah.
My mom was knitting on her chair. I was laying on the floor with my chin in my hands watching Hank Aaron hit that home run. I was 12 years old. I can remember. I can tell you every detail of where I was when that happened.
My brain operates where I remember where I was for a lot of things. Like the first 20-30 Super Bowls, I can tell you whose house I watched it at just based on viewing the game and remembering my surroundings.
But that resonant one.
No. Yeah. Mine was the ball rolling through Bill Buckner's legs in 1986.
Okay.
I was a big Red Sox fan as a kid growing up, and they hadn't won the World Series since 1918. We were all at Chris Cobb's house in his living room. There was five of my buddies. We had three girls there too. We had a lot of people watching there. And I'll never forget the ball rolling through his legs, and we're all just sitting there staring at the screen. And Chris Ann McCoy didn't know anything about sports. We had literally just thrown plastic Coke bottles at the screen, and the whole room is silent. 15 seconds after, she goes, "Well, there's still game 7 tomorrow, guys." I'm like, "Oh, you bitch." Oh.
I don't need to hear that.
This is catharsis right now, all right? I need to process this whole thing. So that's mine. That's my remember from a negative standpoint, remember where I was.
Yeah. I remember when the U.S. entered the first Gulf War, Desert Storm, where it was right before a wrestling match. They announced it. It was wow. Now I'm coming back to it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy came out as we're about to do the national anthem and or the Star Spangled Banner. They announced that we were officially either invading Iraq or whatever it was, however they announced it. And then you had the national anthem. And, you know, you're a teenager. I was a sophomore in high school. You've never been through anything like that. No. And they're playing the national anthem. So that's
wild, man. That confluence.
Soul,
whole...
And then you go and wrestle a wrestling match. And, you know, you can't check. Nobody's checking your phone or anything to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And you had to worry about the draft. All of a sudden, people were saying they might draft people, and you're 16 years old. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was far too dumb for that. I didn't think that far out. I had a wrestling match to wrestle. Yeah.
My one that's not, I wasn't a kid, I was a young adult, but I've told this story many times. I remember watching the OJ chase in Senior Bar on campus at Notre Dame at the party the day before Lou Holtz's daughter's wedding, and I watched the O.J. Chase standing next to Lou Holtz.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching the Rockets game very intently because I had a $1,000 bet on the Rockets to win the series. Everybody else is partying, and I'm staring at this big screen, and then the screen splits, and all of a sudden next to me I hear, "This is unbelievable. This is the biggest fall from grace I've ever seen. He was in our locker room last year." Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, hey, coach, how you doing?"
I think I've told you this story before, Sean, but that one, that's got a double whammy for me because so many things happen in that moment
where
My girlfriend at the time, I was going to surprise her. I'd saved up some money. I was going to take her to Red Lobster. Big deal.
Me. Oh, yeah.
Tell it again.
But I wanted to really surprise her, so I told her we were just going to go to Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we drove past the Taco Bell and pulled into the Red Lobster a couple doors down, she was disappointed because she'd had her hopes up for Taco Bell. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. I'm like, well, that sounds like a cool chick.
Yeah.
No, she was not a cool chick. She was spoiled.
Yeah.
And unappreciative. And then after I can't even remember what we ended up doing. I was so livid. She was just, nothing could ever be right for this girl, you know? Nothing could ever be right. We drove home in my two-door Pontiac Le Mans, and the OJ chase was on.
Oh.
And it was at that moment that I knew I wasn't going to kill her, but I was
going to Whoa!
but there were thoughts. There were thoughts happening.
I was like, this poor OJ. I know how it is, man.
Would have never imagined. OJ is relatable.
Too much, man.
That moment.
Oh, my God. Listen to you, Norm McDonald. All right.
And with that, you give us the ring?
We got to get out. Okay, yeah, we got to get out. I need set
this
as a close.
This stuff leads, yeah. Man. I got to get out of this relationship.
All right. Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, and may nobody find your old isotoners, Sean.
Thank you very much. My Bruno Magli shoes. All right. We are done. We're out of time. KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. That's what you're listening to.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.